Mini episode 646 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 646. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Fargo episode 2.8 titled Lop Lop. Here's our top five developments from episode 2.7 heading into this installment. Number five, even with a great deal more bloodshed, only one piece of it, apparently, involved the major character. We are left to assume that Simone didn't survive being marched into the woods by vengeful Uncle Bear, but there was no firm on-screen confirmation of her fate. Meanwhile, the other deaths appeared either fleetingly, such as the hit on the Kansas City hierarchy orchestrated by the Gerhardts or the dispatching of the Undertaker and his men, or off-screen, such as O'Hanzy taking out two cops in his pursuit of the Butcher. As such, 2.7 was the first episode this season to take a breather, although it may well have been necessary as a bridge between the complete madness of 2.6 and the looming massacre in Sioux Falls. The sole gut-wrenching dramatic storyline of 2.7 involved the piece-by-piece exposure of Simone's betrayal, first being caught with Mike Milligan by Lou and the Dirty Cop, then being spotted leaving the hotel by Uncle Bear, and her feeble, guilty behavior around him leading to the final confrontation. Bear shared her grievances toward her father, but he could not excuse her manner of retribution, going against the family in a time of war and leading to the death of his own father. Now Bear, supposedly Floyd's only reasonable counterpart in the Gerhardt family, has his own secrets to keep. The fate of his niece, and also Dodd's absence, which is convenient for him. He may yet get to steer matters back to a more sane and rational place, but his ends justify the means philosophy and route to that point is sure to cause more problems down the road. Number four. What is Hank's deal with the home office that Betsy discovered? There's been an alien undercurrent to the season that apparently references real-life UFO sightings in Minnesota circa 1979, but that's all been in the background. Online speculation about Betsy's discovery points to Hank being a man who has buried his grief in his wife's demise and his daughter's coming demise in the attempted deciphering of this UFO issue. Fearful fans are wary of a jump-the-shark moment for the show if this supernatural gaga ends up playing any role in the program's endgame, but for now, you've got to trust the writers to be invoking Hank's state of mind in a manner that will be relevant to the final resolution of matters. Number three, Lou and Hank make a deal with the devil. When Lou goes off on the Dirty Cop, there's probably more than a little frustration playing out there as he realizes that he and Hank have essentially replicated that spineless turd's work, albeit for the best of reasons. In their desperate pursuit of peace, rebuffed by a resolute Mike Milligan, the law enforcement peeps reach a deal with Floyd that leads to them doing some of her dirty work in shutting down the Kansas City invaders. In a war with no good guys, Lou and Hank have, for the time being, at least chosen sides. In the Fargo-verse, every difficult and regrettable choice comes back to haunt you, so they may be accountable for being manipulated by Floyd before everything reaches a climax. Number two, internal strife now hits Kansas City as well as the Gerhardts. Last week's commentary mentioned about how the post-Joe Bulow KC presence on the prairie was smaller but more unified than the Gerhardts. Well, after getting hit on their own turf, Kansas City has changed that equation. The decision was made to replace Mike with the Undertaker, but Mike unilaterally erased that direction, so he will continue in the lead role heading into the big Sioux Falls confrontation. While the ambush will ostensibly be blamed on the Fargo contingent, the Kansas City Syndicate may well see through Mike's machinations, and if they do, he may be heading into that big battle with a target on his own head from within. The brutal, gripping joy of this season has come from seeing so many different factions and individual people plotting against others and operating ambushes of different sides. It's increasingly obvious that, whatever happens in Sioux Falls, There will be many different combinations of gunfire in different directions, and maybe some temporary strange bedfellows once the real bloody action begins. Number one, the Butcher of Laverne earns his name. While Hank remains in disbelief that Ed could be capable of the cold-blooded, premeditated calculations that Floyd assumes of him, he's mistaken by assuming that the mild-mannered young man that he's always known is still in the picture. Instead, we've seen a man transformed by the chaos, driven at all costs to hang on to his nutbag of a wife who has put them in the middle of a vicious gang war. Previously this season, we've spoken of the wild cards in this mix who are taking a volatile situation and pouring in more gasoline. The likes of Simone and even Noreen, however unwittingly her role in stopping the hit on Ed turned out to be. But now, with the end game looming, Ed looks like the biggest wild card of all. He indicated previously that he would stop at nothing to keep his wife and himself safe, but those looked like empty words matched against the resolve of hardened killers. Now, with his wife's hoarder dungeon having resulted in the capture of Dodd, a newly Machiavellian Ed is trying to buy peace by extinguishing one of the Gerhardt bosses once and for all. Ironically, desperation has reshaped him as the KC operative that Dodd falsely accused him of being previously. But while Ed is trying to obtain protection from one of the war's two biggest badasses, the other one, O'Hanzy, is right on his heels, pursuing him and Peggy to what we know will be the ultimate battleground in Sioux Falls. Ed's turn to total ruthlessness looks like the ignition switch to the final conflagration that we've been promised from the beginning. Next week may signal a return to aggressive forward action, or it may portray everything that has happened off-screen with Peggy, Ed, and Dodd since Dodd's failed home invasion. But either way, the biggest explosions of the season are inevitable, and we won't have to wait too long. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.